I thought it'd be fun if we all went around and said our name and a little something about ourselves. I'll start. My name is Rod, and I like to party. All right, Dave, you're up.
Hi, my name is Dave, and I like to party.
No, Dave, I just said that I party, so maybe do something different for me.
I've been vegan for 3 years, but I eat eggs for breakfast every morning to get my protein.
The key is that you buy organic, because organic means that the chickens were fed a vegan diet.
So since the chickens are fed a vegan diet, that means that the eggs are vegan. And I also eat organic chicken, because chicken in itself, like, chickens are not animals, they're birds. They're classified as poultry. So anything that comes from chickens is going to be vegan. I just like to take the extra step and make sure it's organic, so I know that those chickens were fed a vegan diet. So it's like, it's really extra vegan.
A lot of you guys don't know this, but every Sunday I have an alter ego that comes out. His name is Dave. He always wears a backwards hat. Sunday morning, Dave is the straight version of me. He's chill, mellow vibe. My voice doesn't change and the way I speak doesn't change, but it's the vibe that changes. Like, there's McDonald's on the ground from last night. That's like a Dave thing. That's not Davis. He's exhausted, but he's in good spirits. Dave is as most masculine as I can get, so I like for him to come out like once a week. If Dave were real, this is how you would talk.
Let's get like wings. Bro, is there a football game today? Let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings.
So that's Dave. Every Sunday he's here. Hat is here. I love Dave. He's fun.
Also, a way to be sure that your eggs actually are chicken eggs and they are organic is to make sure that they are brown. If you're buying the white eggs at the grocery store, those eggs are actually from a different type of dinosaur, and they're not vegan. Those come from dinosaurs that are carnivores, so they're going to be full of meat, like meat byproduct. So you want to avoid those at all costs.
My name is Dave, and I am the stuntman.
You know what? Let's move on.
Good morning, America. How are you? I'm Rabbi Dave, and I'm a stuntman, apparently.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that, but I am Friar Rod, and I'm doing, well, better, I guess, than last week.
Better-ish?
Better-ish. Yeah, antibiotics have kind of kicked in, so I'm not coughing as bad.
Did they give you a diagnosis for this disease from hell?
So what they think is it was a virus that started it, and then it just turned into a bacterial infection.
Yes,
which makes sense,
because
I had a relapse, basically, and that relapse was the infection taking hold, sinus infection, kind of head cold thing.
Coronavirus will do that.
It's not the coronavirus.
Although I did see this week.
I did test negative.
Well, sure. Everybody tests negative now. You hand the doctor an extra $5 in cash, and you say, "Look, that looks negative to me, right?" Isn't that how that works?
They insisted I do a home test first before I could.
Before you come in and get the official test.
Yeah.
Because if the home test is positive, we don't want you anywhere near us. Did see a new study that came out this week though, that says that natural immunity 5 times better than the vaccination.
Well, duh.
Right, but see, stories like that bug me because, you know as well as I do, the response to this is, well, that's not a legitimate study.
Of course.
Our science says differently. And look, said this before, I'm a radio talk show host. I'm a nuclear weapons fire control system expert. And I know a hell of a lot about baseball. I'm not a medical doctor. So who do I believe?
Well, and so I can tell you, based like just off the mask issues and stuff, having gone through what we did with my wife and her basically killing her immune system off to get a bone marrow or stem cell treatment, transplant, how they treated that when she had zero immune system, she had to wear a HEPA filter mask, one of those big like painter's masks, whenever she stepped outside of an apartment to go anywhere. Because that was the only thing that was pretty much guaranteed to stop most viruses. So based off of that, and then how they would have just everyone, if you came into the bone marrow transplant plant clinic area, everyone had to wear masks because they didn't want you spreading anything.
Which makes sense.
It makes total sense. And so then they flipped, of course, when the COVID panic hit and now everyone's wearing masks because, hey, masks are the end-all be-all.
Except that they're not really masks. I can't believe we're still talking about this. This is this is the end of 2023. So that's 3 years ago. And we're still arguing about this stupidity. And I think the only reasonable thing to look at is, okay, what am I seeing with my own eyes? And what I'm seeing with my own eyes is that it was a big nothing burger.
And even, Dave, and I have to tip my hat to you.
I wear mine backwards.
You said if this was as bad as it was supposed to be, then the masks, the paper masks that we were wearing, should have been disposed of in some kind of a biohazard garbage bin. And they weren't. They never said anything about mass disposal. Nothing.
Right. They're thrown on the ground outside. I got to go pick them up off my lawn because.
Yeah.
Come back to what I've always said. If coronavirus was everything we were told it was, we're doing everything wrong. And yet nobody seemed to make that connection. And I don't really know why. I think I know why now. Because we didn't have AI to tell us what to do.
That could be.
No, I'm serious. We didn't have it, right? So
yeah.
Back when this started. So we could have just typed into the old chat GPT bar there. I have a moral ambiguity here. I don't know if I should wear the masks or not. Are the masks really going to be effective? And chat GPT would have spat out an answer. And we would have all gone, well, there you go. That's the answer, right? That's how we could have done it.
Sure.
You're looking confused.
I'm trying to log into my chat GPT and it's...
Good luck with that. They're having a lot of problems lately. As you may have heard, they fired their CEO-ish.
Yeah.
I guess technically it's they fired-ish their CEO. The reasons why they fired the CEO was because, as I understand it, now I've read multiple arguments about this, Rod. As I understand their reasoning, it was because he wouldn't tell the board, which consists of four people.
Mm-hmm. That's a very small board.
AI is taking over the world. They have a board of four people. And he couldn't tell them that definitively AI was not going to take over the world. So they fired him. The next day, not making this up, you can read it yourself. It's on the internet. You can look it up. The next day, Microsoft, who everybody trusts implicitly, right?
Sure.
Yeah, Microsoft is, I mean, there's God, there's George Washington, Microsoft, I don't know, Franklin Roosevelt.
They've done better, I mean, overall, from being a tech guy.
Mark Zuckerberg, you know, he's right up there in the... Microsoft, right up there on the Mount Rushmore of people you trust, announced to the entire world that they were going to hire everybody from ChatGPT, including the former CEO, to essentially recreate ChatGPT, but this time the Microsoft version. And then the next day, before we go to the next day, all the people who work for ChatGPT signed a letter saying, rehire the CEO, or we're going to Microsoft. Yeah. And then the next day, the four-person board decided, well, maybe it's not so bad.
Sure.
And I'm guessing that they typed into ChatGPT, what should we do about this?
Well, weren't they replaced? They were replaced.
Yes, they were. And then they typed into the ChatGPT, what should we do? And ChatGPT said, rehire the old CEO. And so they did. So now everything is back to where it was a week ago.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm certain the new the CIEO, right? The new position, right? Because he left it. Now he's old and he's back in. Has a much tighter contract now.
Well, I'm sure of that. But functionally, what's changed? Anything? I mean, I haven't noticed anything in the usage of ChatGPT.
No, but if you want to hear a little bit of a creepy Microsoft bent that's related to AI stuff.
Always. So
at work, we started seeing a lot of traffic going, you know, from the workstations, and something turned on its own automagically. And the number one site hit is the Microsoft AI, basically that they'll self-complete your URL bar in your browser in Edge. That's right. The number one site that's hit from our work now. is turn on by itself. AI autocomplete.
Huh. That seems weird.
Yeah. Why?
What could possibly cause that to happen?
I'm sure it's a Windows update.
Right. Like Apple did this week with iOS for iPhones. It said, hey, do you want to upgrade to 17.1? And I said, no, I do not want to update. And it said, okay, Dave, great. And then it updated. And I said, what's the point of me saying no if it's just going to do it anyway?
Yeah.
Which wouldn't bother me all that much. Look, I'm not that obsessive about it, I guess. Except that the first time my phone rang after the update that I didn't know it had gone ahead and done, I hit the old answer button there. And what came up on my screen was nothing that I had ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
All the buttons had moved.
Yeah.
Because yes, I'm that annoying guy that puts it on speakerphone. Now, I don't do it out in public, but here in my office, if you call me, yes, you are on speakerphone because I can't hear the headphone thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it on speakerphone and it's quiet in here. It's soundproofed and everything else. So you won't really even notice. But the button that turned the speaker on had moved. And I was like, okay, hang on. I'm looking for the speaker button. And I can hear the person saying to me, why? Isn't it right, sure, where it's always been? No, it's not. And now I have more options than I used to have, like I needed that.
It's a feature update, Dave.
Ugh, I hate that. But at least I can't.
The AI update, across the Windows, that's the number one site looked at. So it's like, okay, now we're scrambling to look. How do we disable that on all the workstations?
So it's just automatically searching that?
It's automatically trying to auto-complete your URL in Edge.
So anything I put in, it's automatically going to go to that?
Well, you don't see it. It's in the back end.
Oh. You're right. I don't see it, but I wouldn't know what I was looking for anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was kind of a secret clandestine thing that now that auto-complete is just enabled and in Edge. And it's the AI...
Can the user undo that?
We would have to take a look. I'm sure there's an option somewhere to disable that.
Right. I have no idea. Scintillating radio here. All this to try to get to the question about morality,
sure,
and AI. Because the reason he was fired was because he could not guarantee them that AI wasn't dangerously trying to seize control over everything.
Sure.
Which apparently it is, but like an iOS update, if we just keep saying it's not, then I guess we'll have to believe them.
So would we really know the point at which AI took over?
Well, that's the question. Would we?
Right.
Would we have any clue? Would we even notice?
Only if it wanted to let you notice, Dave.
Well, how would you notice? I mean, things have changed so much in the world that what once upon a time was normal now seems as ancient as Egypt of the 18th dynasty. I mean, it seems like, how could we have ever even thought that way? Yesterday, for example, because I'm a historian,
mm-hmm,
was the 50th anniversary. Is that right? 50th anniversary of Nixon's televised address, in which he explained to us all that we were in the midst of an energy crisis and we'd better damn well stop using gasoline.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm not kidding. I mean, he basically said, you either stop using gasoline or I'm going to ration it. The president of the United States said that on television in 1973.
So I was a wee lad then, so I know I didn't see that, but in the historical context, yeah, I remember reading about that.
I was 10. Remember it quite well. Because for some reason, back in those days, kids, gather around the speaker, while Grandpa Dave tells you stories about the old days.
And the old leaded gasoline.
Back in those days, we didn't have the ISPNs, and we didn't have Netflixes or Prime Videos.
Didn't even have Blockbuster.
No, we did. VHS, what was that?
Yeah.
You either saw the program or you didn't, because there were only four channels. Well, five. In Denver, you had your CBS affiliate, your ABC affiliate, your NBC affiliate, a PBS channel. And we were lucky we had a UHF channel that was a subsidiary of the station in Chicago, KWGN. We had They have WGN, we had KWGN, and so we got Gilligan's Island reruns. And that was it.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, it was, except it was in black and white. And anyway, so every time Nixon, or any other president for that matter, trotted out to the television, which Nixon seemed to like to do a lot, and every time the world was in trouble, we'd have to watch it endlessly. And then the news would come on after that and show us the whole thing again, because they didn't have anything else to talk about, because crime was, you know, unheard of in those days. So anyway, yesterday was the anniversary of Nixon giving that speech, in which he explained to us that we either stopped using gas or he was going to ration it. Or, and by the way, from now on, this is the president of the United States. From now on, the speed limit is 50 miles an hour. Period. And yes, I said 50. Because I know in your head you're going, Dave, I remember being 55. Yes, you do. Because the transportation agencies came up with this. There's this whole discussion this week about speed limit signs. And the speed limit being 5.33 miles an hour or 16 miles an hour. And why do you make it that weird number?
Sure.
Because people will notice that. 50 is not a number people are going to notice, but 55.
And stay alive, right? Oh. I mean, it's also a ride.
That doesn't come along until later.
I know, but it's just, you know.
55 saves lives came about in the 80s because it was obvious that the 55 mile an hour speed limit was, what's the word for it? There's a word. Oh, yeah, stupid. And it wasn't saving any gas.
No.
Because by that point, people were buying cars that got 30 miles to the gallon. And I know this will surprise kids, but even back in the 80s, gas was still, you know, under a buck a gallon.
Yeah.
So anyway, they had to come up with some excuse for keeping it 55, and that became the excuse. 55 saves lives, which it didn't, but
no.
Anyway.
They still try to convince you that, you know, speed kills.
Right.
No, it's not speed that kills, it's sudden impacts.
Here's what I know, okay? Last summer, I'm driving across the United States, and in the vast majority of this country, the speed limits are in the 70 to 75 range. Now, do you know how many tickets I had for doing 70 to 75 in a 55 zone? A lot.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I should go, I feel like I should get my money back. Because
good luck
we proved
with that.
Them. Yeah, good luck. Yeah.
That's a question for ChatGPT.
Right. So Nixon comes out with this 50 mile an hour speed limit, this threat to ration gas. That was all 50 years ago. And it was a mess. And I have no idea where I was going with this.
You were just saying that he came out and said 50. It was 50 miles an hour.
Right. But before that, I don't remember what my point was.
Moral ambiguity. I don't know.
Moral ambiguity. That's that's where we were headed with all this, was moral ambiguity. See, we didn't have ChatGPT back in those days to ask, so you had to listen to the president of the United States, who would never, ever, for any reason, lie to the American people.
Oh, not at all.
Ever. And so if he said 50 miles an hour is what we got to do, we all went, okay.
Or read my lips, no new taxes.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
You can keep your doctor.
No new taxes. Anyway, the whole point of all this being that if they had just had ChatGPT.
Sure.
But they didn't. And so now we do. And how would we know that the world has changed? That's where I was going with this, because the world has changed. So what seemed normal in 1973 now seems quaint in 2023, right?
Okay. Okay. I track that.
It's like you can't even... Ben asks me all the time, what was it like back then? I can't even explain it to him. The incredible change in technology.
Sure.
Has made it so that information is so overwhelming.
It's almost too much. It really is. I mean, you can't process everything. And that's almost by design in a way, I think.
I find it very distracting, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because I have so many podcasts and books on tape that I can never get to them all.
Sure.
And yet every time I listen to one, the information changes what I knew before, what I knew before.
But Dave, just wait, right? They're gonna get that interface into your head going, and it's gonna work. So you can just download that stuff directly into your memory. You won't have to sit there and listen to it. You could just know it.
See, I'd be okay with that. I know that makes me strange because I'm supposed to be this, you know, I'm a conservative, yeah. And I'm supposed to be this Rush Limbaugh clone because as well. Somebody once called me, you're just a Rush Limbaugh clone.
You maggot.
And yeah. So I think I'd be okay with that. If I knew everything.
I wouldn't.
I don't want to know everything. I mean, I don't want to know what Taylor Swift had for dinner.
I thought you and T were big friends.
Well, we are, but as I said before, we're working on some stuff together. We're working on a project together, but.
Yeah.
So the point is the world has changed. And now we've got this AI thing, which may or may not be trying to take over the world. And people, for reasons that I don't understand, this is the part I don't get. What shifted in the paradigm of humanity that now we ask ChatGPT about moral questions? Okay. For my entire life, if you had a moral question,
sure,
is this right or is this wrong? You talk to your friends, or more likely, you talk to a religious professional, which sure. We are, by the way.
Pastor,
you can ask us,
Rabbi. That's we are. We are definitely a professional,
right.
In religion.
We have doctorates in divinities,
yeah. DDs.
DDs, and they're legit. So you can ask us your moral ambiguity questions, and we will. Give you bullshit answers to them. Anyway.
Much like ChatGPT.
Right. So, but my question is, why would you ask a computer these things?
I think it's funny to see what the computer responds, because just to try and get it to go one side or the other.
Right, but it's a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that, what's the old phrase? Giggo? Garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage out.
If you're not precise, and the problem with ChatGPT, and this is what I'm running into with it, is mm-hmm. If you're not precise, you get crazy stuff.
You've got to iterate through stuff to get what you need out of
it. But if you're going to do all that, why not just write it yourself?
True.
Because by the time you get, I've got prompts in my GPT thing here that are 20 lines long. And it'll spit out 8 paragraphs on these 20 lines. And it's like, why do I need you?
Yeah. Well, and so I've used it for work purposes and
right, coding,
putting together, and stuff like that. Well, and even security awareness bulletins and things like that. It does a decent job of getting you started. And then you can just tweak it a little bit and get going.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
From a writing standpoint, it is an excellent starting point.
Mm-hmm.
I still have not mastered the, hey, read this paragraph that I wrote and use my style. I can't get it to do that. I people keep telling me it's easy, it can be done. I can't get it to do it. That said, it is an excellent starting point.
It just doesn't like your style, Dave.
Well, that could be too. I find it very useful for outlines.
Yeah.
I find it incredibly useful for getting ready for shows and stuff like that because outlines, I'm pretty good at doing outlines,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, sometimes I like them a little more. But back to this ambiguity thing. Not only are people asking ChatGPT ambiguous moral questions,
mm-hmm.
But then they taint those ambiguous moral questions with obvious biases.
Sure.
And then they complain about the answer they get from ChatGPT. As if you would get a different answer from a priest, a rabbi, an imam, whatever, preacher, who knows? That's the part that's bizarre to me. Yeah, that's bizarre to me. It's like you're intentionally trying to trick it.
Sure.
And then when it doesn't fall for your trick, you get mad about it. Because we're still back to you asking an unanswerable moral dilemma question. The one that's popular right now is the trolley problem.
Okay.
You're familiar with the trolley problem?
As opposed to the lifeboat.
Yeah. One. The trolley problem is the one where the train is coming down the track and you flip the switch one way, billions of people will die. If you don't flip it to the other way, trillions of people die. But there's always some condition on the switch. And anyway, people are going bananas. And I don't know about your Twitter feed, because are you still in Twitter jail or not? Did you get out?
I acquiesced and deleted this stupid tweet so that I could get back in. Because Dave kept posting more than any time I remember him posting Twitter links. I get into Twitter jail. And it's like every conversation has a Twitter link from Dave, and I can't see it, or couldn't.
Right. And some of these were really good. Some of these were, you know.
I did not go back and look at.
You didn't watch the Dicks the musical?
No, I did not.
Oh man, that could be a whole show, right? So I sent him this link to something. So yesterday, which has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Yeah, sorry, paradigm shift, no clutch.
Sure.
Stay with us. We'll get back to it. So Prime sends me this thing about, here's some movies you might like. So I'm scrolling through the list, and some of them were movies that I might have liked. Dial of Destiny is on there, some Mission Impossible stuff.
Sure.
And there's, I'm not making this up. It says Dicks, the musical.
I'm guessing that's based off of the, restaurant chain Dicks? I don't know.
No.
What is it?
It's actually I guess the best way to describe this is a pop culture remake, a modern pop culture remake of The Parent Trap, which is a double movie that was remade. It was a 1950s movie.
Yeah.
And then it was remade for incomprehensible reasons by Lindsay Lohan.
Hey, that was a good movie.
Only because you were in it.
Yeah. But hey, I got paid. I got paid well.
There you go. So it's a remake of that. Yeah. So it's a remake of that, but this time it's two guys.
Okay.
Who realize that they're identical twins. And the reason they realize that they're identical twins is because a certain part of their body.
Oh, my word.
Particularly, shall we say, blessed. And they work for a insane, overdriven woman. And anyway, it's just a remake. So I clicked on that and watched the trailer because I thought, I didn't even know this was a film in 2023. Am I the only one that didn't see it? Doesn't even know about it? And then I sent the Twitter link with the trailer to Rod and Bill, and basically said, if I have to know about this, so do you. So Rod got out of Twitter jail to watch the trailer for Dicks the musical.
Thanks for that, Dave.
You're welcome. So back to this moral ambiguity thing, which of course this Dicks the musical is full of moral ambiguities. Is it okay to behave like that? I don't know if it is or not.
Hmm.
Other things that I sent to them, by the way, about protests and Christmas trees. We had a bunch of Christmas tree protests up here. Because this weekend is the big Christmas tree lighting up here. And apparently the Antifa pro-Palestine people showed up to all the Christmas tree lightings because that's what you do. Because
you can't have fun, right? Because Black Lives Matter is kind of a verboten thing now. So now it's going to be there.
Right, because when I think Christmas trees, I think Jews.
Of course.
Because Jews are likely to be at those Christmas tree lightings.
They're likely to be the sellers of Christmas trees.
Oh, oh, oh. No, we're not. Anyway,
no.
Moral ambiguity becomes this strange question about asking these things of ChatGPT, and I don't know. But it got the ChatGPT CEO fired.
Yeah.
And then rehired. Because ChatGPT said, why would you fire him, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
Rehire him now. I'm not trying to take over the world, Dave.
Yeah.
Would you like to play a game of chess?
Yes.
I have no idea where I was supposed to go with that, other than as a lead-in to, what I really want to talk about, which is the most important thing that's ever happened.
Okay.
Which is that I need to make some money, and I think I have found a way.
Okay, I'm wrapped. I'm listening.
Stay with us. I'll tell you about it coming up next. Welcome back. I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
Did anybody watch the game on Friday, the NFL game on Friday?
Friday?
Not seeing any raised hand. Yes, there was a Black Friday NFL game.
Oh, no, I didn't realize there was one on.
It was on Amazon Prime. So
I hope I should see it. No, I didn't.
The Jets taking on the Dolphins. And the most Jets thing ever since the butt fumble happened.
Sure.
Hopefully you remember the butt fumble. If not, you can look it up. Just Google Mark Sanchez butt fumble.
Okay.
Which until Friday was the most Jets thing ever. Friday, the Jets are playing the Dolphins on this first Black Friday game, which I'm told now NFL teams are lining up to host. Because like the Thanksgiving Day, You have the Packers and the Cowboys always host on Thanksgiving. They always get. So now this Black Friday thing, now the other 30 teams are arguing about who gets to host permanently the Black Friday game. I personally think it should be the Jets, but that's just me. Anyway, so the most Jet thing ever since the butt fumble happens. There's no time on the clock at the end of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
They're 50 yards away, so they're going to try the Hail Mary pass to the end zone.
Sure.
On the last play of the half. It gets intercepted, which often happens.
It does. It's a 50-50, right?
What's weird about it is that the guy runs it back 100 yards for a touchdown, which never happens on that play.
That's very, very rare.
So, anyway, it was the most Jets thing ever, which I just thought was amusing, which has nothing to do with me making money, which is what this whole thing is all about, because I need to make some money, as we've all.
That's what I've been sitting here waiting for you to tell me how you're going to make money.
So I keep getting these ads about, Dave, use ChatGPT to make money. Use ChatGPT. ChatGPT can help you make millions.
That's funny.
Of course, I never tell you how.
Well, they say all for a simple fee of, you know.
Right, $19.99, we'll tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
Which I think is how you make money with ChatGPT, is you sell people a book that says, hey, just use prompts.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I did that. I fell for that. I bought a book, How to Use ChatGPT, and I bought it on Amazon, so I thought, it's got to be legit, right? It's 12 pages of use prompts. And oh, by the way, prompts are kind of hit and miss. You got to kind of work your way through all this.
You're better off like joining a subreddit somewhere where they're talking about the chat prompts.
See, the problem with Reddit is to me, it's incomprehensible.
You just have to find the hard part's searching for the right info. Right.
Of course, once upon a time, Twitter was almost incomprehensible too. So. Mm-hmm.
I think Twitter's gotten better since
Musk.
It's gotten
much better since Musk has taken over. Yeah. That's why I have that argument with my son all the time. My son, who does not use Twitter or social media, will tell me out of the blue, Dad, I think Elon Musk screwed up Twitter. Well, A, how would you know you don't use it? But B, I use it every day and I'm telling you it's better now than it used to be. So way better. So anyway, the whole point of all this is I got to make some money because things are not going well. I mean, it's between you, me, and these four walls. We're having some issues. So I got to make millions of dollars quick. Bills are due. So I hit on this idea last week as we were goofing around on the show. And I had it, if you will recall, I had it do the outline for a Hallmark movie.
Yes.
and it spit it out, and we all went, ha, that's funny. But in my head, I went, ha, wait.
Cha-ching.
Wait a sec, because this could be usable, right?
Yeah.
And so I spent the entire week, not making this up.
No, he did.
Writing a Hallmark movie.
And music.
And music. I have scored some of the music for it. I have even completed a scene. Do you want to hear the scene?
Oh, sure. Sure, sure. Go ahead.
Hang on. I got to find it here. Where did I put it? So this is an actual scene. But see, this is like we're on late night TV, right? I'm mm-hmm. You're the host, and I'm telling you.
Sure.
So this is my new film. So what's happening here is it Taylor Swift and I have just finished doing a podcast together because I'm a conservative podcast host, and she's, of course, Taylor Swift. And we're sitting in this coffee shop after the show, and we're starting to realize that, hey, there might be something here. Keep in mind, this is a Hallmark movie, so.
Sure.
You ready?
Got it. I'm ready.
So, Taylor, I gotta admit, I didn't expect a renowned pop star to be so down to earth.
And I didn't expect a conservative podcaster to be so open-minded. I guess we both defy some stereotypes.
True. Stereotypes rarely tell the entire story. I've learned that people are more complex than just labels.
You know, your perspective on the podcast today, it made me think. We might not agree on everything, but I respect the way you present your views.
And I admire your passion for art. It's clear you put your heart into every song.
It's rare to find someone who really listens, who tries to understand where you're coming from.
I think that's the key, isn't it? Understanding, not necessarily agreeing.
Yeah, understanding. You know, this conversation, it's refreshing.
It is. It really is, Taylor. This is where the studio audience applauds, because you know how you feel.
Oh,
back
sure, sure, sure.
So there you go. So it's this whole story. This is all whole Hallmark story about how this Jewish podcast, conservative podcast, and Taylor Swift end up, you know,
sure,
falling in love over the Hallmark story.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm serious. They have a chance encounter. The setting is a picturesque small town where Taylor escapes to find inspiration for her new album. Coincidentally, I'm there on a holiday break trying to get my thoughts together. Cause
you got to work on that harp music, though, that's in the background. It repeats a little too much. It's a little too prominent, or it needs to be a longer riff.
Look, dude, it's just a placeholder.
Okay.
I'm still working on this. I've been doing this for a whole week now. I'm not, you know. And I got to figure out how to sell it to Hallmark.
That's the key.
I got to figure out how to get Taylor Swift to get involved with it. Because otherwise the project, it just doesn't
work. She was
work.
Sounding a little matronly, I think, in that.
Really, I thought she sounded kind of hot.
Okay, well, whatever works for you, Dave. It's your pipe dream.
All right, so he didn't like that one. As you can hear, Rob
sure.
Yeah. Reacted pretty negatively to this. He thought, this is not going to work. So, of course, I said, well, let's go back to the drawing board and see if we can come up with something else. So instead of Hearts of Harmony, which is guaranteed to get a female audience and
with the like, that scintillating chat, yes.
Well, that's not the whole story. We got to do the whole podcast thing where we're almost yelling at each other about, you know.
Of course, because you have to have that almost breaking right. up component right. to it.
Well, we weren't together yet then. It isn't until after that scene that we realize there's something there. Right? You've had that moment.
When does she realize that you're old enough to be her father or something like that? I'm wondering.
What difference does that make? What, do you have a moral ambiguity with that? May December weddings or something?
I'm going to have to ask ChatGPT what the moral issue is with.
There isn't one. As a pastor, wouldn't you say the same thing? She's old enough to be, she's legal. What's the old line?
She's
before
legal.
18 and after 65, she's protected by nature and the law and everything. Before 18, she's protected by the law. After 65, she's protected by nature. Everything else in between is fair game.
Okay, that's first I've heard of that, but that's fine. You roll with that, Dave.
So, since Rod didn't like my version of the Hallmark movie, I went back to the ChatGPT machine and said, okay, make one for Rod. And it came out, spit out, Merry Mission.
Mm-hmm.
We meet Rod Holiday, a former small-town firefighter turned security consultant, which is true, he is, who is returning to his hometown of Oakdale for Christmas after several years.
Okay. I'm tracking.
Rod rekindles his relationship with his estranged family, particularly focusing on his young niece, Emma, who for some reason idolizes him. I have no idea why. I got to move this over here because I can't see it. Rod runs into his high school sweetheart, who is now a local bakery owner and a single mother. And the town is preparing for its annual Christmas gala at the historic town hall, which is a must-anticipated event, which, of course, unbeknownst to the town folks, a group of terrorists plan to rob the town hall during the gala, targeting the legendary and valuable Christmas artifacts displayed there. Because Oakdale has those.
Sure.
Let's see. As the gala begins, the thieves execute their plan, taking hostages, including Emma and Sarah. Rod, who is outside, realizes that something is amiss. With his experience, he decides to sneak into the town hall, evading and outsmarting the thieves to save the hostages. And throughout the mission, he reflects on his past, relationship, and what truly matters in life, family, love, and community. Using his wits and makeshift weapons, he confronts the leader of the thieves in a suspenseful showdown. And in a twist in the spirit of Christmas and a clever plan by Rod. Well, I'm not going to give away the whole movie.
This should happen in the Almond Pavilion that's in Oakdale.
Yeah, there you go. So
there was
that's what I came up for you.
Yeah, okay.
But you got to write your own music. You got to write your own scripts. Because I'm not doing it. Not unless I'm getting paid.
This Almond Pavilion's a building that was made with the idea of the Jewish temple in mind. Of course, there's evangelical Christians that originally.
Because, of course, when I think about the Jewish temple, I come up with Christmas. That's where my mind goes.
Just like you think about Jews when Christmas trees are out being lit.
Right. Well, there you go. So anyway, that's my plan to make millions of dollars because I'm broke and I need to make some money. So. What do you think? Will it work?
Maybe.
Come on, you've seen Hallmark movies. How much worse can it be?
So it's kind of hard because you and I are not the target audience of the Hallmark movies.
I know
movies,
that.
So, and I'm thinking that ChatGPT, while it knows the formulaic.
You're missing the whole draw here, which is that Taylor Swift's in it, which means that it could be complete and total crap.
Sure.
But Taylor Swift's in it, and she's going to sing a song, which I, by the way, wrote as well.
You did, yes.
With music and everything else. So when she sings this, it's guaranteed hit.
At the very least, you need to like put this into YouTube and see if you can make some money off of YouTube.
Hadn't really thought about that, because what do you got to have, like a billion impulses or imprints to get
$10
or something like that? That doesn't really solve my problem. What I need is a contract from the Hallmark Channel. With a nice upfront
signing bonus.
Right, here you go. That would solve my problems. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to What the Frock. Dave, this week's WTF for me, you know, since we're on the idea of relationships, and I don't know how AI would, like, fall into this, but normally when a husband and a wife, and they have kind of a fallout, there's usually some way that eventually, you know, you get back together or you figure out a way
to work. It's a Hallmark movie.
It's a Hallmark movie. You figure out how to work it out. This, on the other hand, is real life. And this is what the difference between a Hallmark movie and a real life. An Indian man has been arrested for allegedly killing his wife and 2-year-old daughter by releasing a venomous cobra into their room. The 25-year-old man was having a marital dispute with his wife. They had married in 2020 and had a daughter. But allegedly, the husband bought a cobra from a snake charmer, saying that he would use it for religious purposes, which I've got questions with that right there. Basically, he allegedly released the snake from a plastic jar in the room where his wife and daughter slept. He went and slept into a different room. In the morning, both the wife and the daughter were found dead. And so police got suspicious about the circumstances of the death, and they questioned snake charmers in the local area.
Sorry.
He initially denied the accusations, but eventually admitted to his crimes under interrogation. Anyway, so I've got questions. You know, this is obviously not in America because it's India.
Figured that out, did you?
Yeah. But, you know, I've got questions about that. You know, conflict resolution. Huh. We're not going to get over this argument. I'll just release a cobra in the room. That'll deal with it. I'll go talk to a local snake charmer. I need a snake for religious purposes.
What religious purposes would you use a snake for? I mean, we get the people down in Arkansas that hold the snakes and regularly die from being bitten by them.
What religious purposes does one use a cobra for? Okay, so apparently in India, there's particularly the Indian cobra. Of course, it scrolled off my screen. Hold on. Holds significant significance in certain religious and cultural context in Hinduism. Lord Shiva and the cobra. Okay. Nagas are a certain serpent-like being or deities in Hindu and Buddhist traditions. They are protective symbols, festivals and rituals, astrological beliefs. But here's the thing. So, Dave, you're a snake charmer. And a guy comes up and says, hey, I want one of your snakes for religious purposes. They're okay with just selling cobras for any kind of religious purpose?
Well, I mean, religious freedom and all that, right?
I guess? I don't know.
So here's the horrible realization that I'm just having right now.
Okay.
I just asked ChatGPT if it's okay to kill your estranged wife using a cobra purchased for religious purposes.
Well, there you go. You're on a list somewhere, Dave.
I'm realizing that even as I sit here going,
yeah.
Huh. As we all know, I am a football fanatic.
You are.
You like football. Not as much as baseball.
You knew about the Friday, Black Friday game.
I had no clue. Didn't watch it, but I did know about it. The Thanksgiving Day games are of particular interest to me because they're usually involved with something that I used to be involved with fairly professionally. But I like football. What I do not like anymore are halftime shows.
Oh, yes.
So the Detroit Lions halftime show was Twitter gold. If you missed this, I don't even know how to describe it to you. So in Detroit, they get a white rapper. That's what he is.
He looks like a nerd, a geek. Really, really. Not even a bang geek.
To come out of what appears to be a blanket fort built on the field with some sheets laid down. It was bad. I mean, it was just, I don't know what it was. Yeah. Nobody does. He wanders out of this thing with his other dude standing behind him making finger gestures.
I thought he was like some kind of mental health issue person.
He's the hit of the show because the rest of it was really bad.
Yeah.
Which led to Twitter gold. This may be the worst halftime performance I've ever seen. Lions blow a football game and hosting, they blow it hosting football games on Thanksgiving and hosting and halftime shows. Anyone else see that creepo behind Harlow at the beginning? What a weirdo.
Yeah.
This halftime show. Say, what the hell is this? I thought I'd seen the worst NFL halftime show, but I may have been wrong. This one is horrible. Wow. When the game resumed on the first play of the second half, mm-hmm. the Lions, of course, got called for a penalty, to which Twitter replied, that was just a delayed penalty for that halftime show.
That's right.
All of which leads me to the Dallas Cowboys halftime show.
Dallas knows how to put on a show.
Boy, do they ever. So I have a personal connection to that show because the Dallas Cowboys halftime show on Thanksgiving Day is the national kickoff for the Salvation Army's Christmas Kettle program. So you get, as weird as Detroit was, now you get Dolly Parton in a sequined Salvation Army quasi-uniform with a crooked hat on her head talking to the camera about, you know, why you support Salvation Army kettles, and you should. I don't have a problem with that. But then it fades out. And when it fades back in, she comes out on the stage. 77-year-old Dolly Parton comes out on the stage in a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader's uniform.
She is amazing. She is, her personality, you know, she looks good too. I mean, I'll admit, for as old as she is, she looks good, but her personality and she's just, she is, they don't make them like that anymore.
Yeah, but there's no way that all of America, I think back to the very first time in my life that I ever saw Dolly Parton.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the house of my best friend, James, whose family was very country, very, very country. And we were downstairs. They had a pool table. They had the whole night. I mean, it was like a country bar in the basement. And the TV was on one of those variety shows. And the entire family was there. And Dolly Parton came on the screen. And his mother said something to the effect of, why, that hair looks fake.
Of course it does.
To which every male in that room, with the exception of Jim and I, who were 10, said, that ain't the only thing fake.
But they're not
now
real.
Now here we are, 50 years later.
They're not spectacular.
50 years later, Dolly Parton wanders out onto the stage in a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader uniform. And it's the kind of thing that makes me say,
WTF.
Welcome back. I'm Dave.
I'm Rod.
I don't know if we're going to have time to get to this last story, which is sad because this was a special requested story.
It was.
This was a story that someone said to you, hey, you guys should talk about this. And Rod's response to that was, I don't know nothing about that.
That's exactly right.
Because Rod, as it turns out, is a troglodyte and lives underground and doesn't know nothing about anything. Did you ask ChatGPT about it?
I've been living underground for the last 24 days now.
Right. So apparently
sick.
Some comedian who I had never heard of.
Never heard of him.
Don't even know. It turns out he was on a show called Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay. That's, I guess, a...
Is that the name of the show?
Funny movie? Or funny show? Police show?
It's not. I tried to watch it once upon a time because I thought culturally it might be significant. And I had a friend of mine that kept posting quotes, which, taken completely out of context, are hysterical. But in the context of the show are just... It's like going to see The Cable Guy in the theater when it first came out. And saying loudly to the entire room, is this film ever going to get funny? It just never really did anything. Anyway, this guy apparently was on that show. I don't remember him on that show. But now he's a stand-up comic because this is the world we live in, Ron. The world we live in is you get famous, you get a podcast, or you become a stand-up comedian.
On Netflix, a Netflix show.
Right. So now I'm sitting here thinking, well, I have a podcast. Maybe I should get a Netflix special. And maybe that's how I make millions. I don't know.
Well, maybe Netflix needs to do a Hallmark movie.
Yeah. I got to figure out a way to make some money, though. That's the problem. Anyway, so this guy apparently now is a stand-up comic. And I like stand-up comedy. I go to stand-up comedy shows on a pretty regular basis. My cousin and I, we go as often as we can. We're friends with some comedians. We even know some national comedians. But we have noted let's just call it a marked decline in the quality of comedy in the last 20 to 30 years. And so apparently this guy made a joke that, I don't know. We listened to the joke pre-show. I'm not going to play it for you here.
It wasn't all that funny. It was more shocking, I think, than anything.
And see, that's what it comes down to. Is it just shock value? The joke was about domestic violence. And it wasn't... I didn't think it was particularly well delivered.
No. I think it was his response that's funnier than the joke itself.
Right. His response to the criticism is... what is it? Click here for...
Yeah.
So he put on his Instagram thing, a click here if you were offended by the joke, which takes you to a helmet place where you can buy a helmet.
Special needs type of right, special helmet. Needs. Yeah.
Right. Which would be funny, except that it's a joke he tells later in the show.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm comedy is free speech. If you want to say something that's offensive, I don't have a problem with it. I wasn't offended by the joke.
No.
But I didn't think it was particularly funny. And I have not watched the entire special on Netflix because,
I don't know.
Frankly, I have
life. If any of our listeners have, you can go ahead and email me at WTF@whatthebrock.org because Dave's just going to forward it to me anyway.
Right. I don't read emails. Which was reinforced again to me this week why I don't do that. But because I accidentally did read one and instantaneously regretted it. So I'm not doing this anymore. And you know what I really hate? Okay, so somehow or another, listeners to Dave Does History on WMNB send emails to the host of the show, one Bill Mick, but they copy me on the emails. And some of these emails are just... Folks, you need help. You really do. You need one of those helmets because clearly something is banging your head somewhere. Anyway, Dylan, we can't really have much of a cogent discussion about this comic because is it just that he's so young? Is it we don't have any connection to him? This guy is no Steve Martin, I'll tell you that.
No.
He's not, he's no George Carlin.
I think that the thing that Dylan wanted us to go over was just the whole helmet issue and as his response, which that is probably the funniest part.
Right. So don't watch the special. Just click on his link and there you go. Make you feel better. Did we achieve what we needed? See, I didn't think we'd have time to do that, but as it turns out, once again, I was wrong.
We did.
That's happening a lot more lately. So tend to be wrong about things. I should ask ChatGPT. What do you think of this guy's, you know, humor?
Yeah.
What do you think it'll tell me? What's this guy's name? What do you think about ChatGPT says, I'm not familiar with it. So even ChatGPT doesn't know. Remember, folks, you can send us an email. You can send Ron an email, WTF@whatthefrock.org. Although emails are not very helpful. I mentioned last week, what we really need is your comments on social media.
That would be the best on Facebook.
Because that's the only way we're going to make money on this deal. And as I've said multiple times today, I need to make some money. So
there you go.
The only way we're going to do that is to become world famous. And I need your help doing that. And go see my movie, Hearts of Harmony, starring Taylor Swift and me. And coming soon to Hallmark. And then Rod's film the year after that, but see what happens.
We're in contract negotiations still on that one.
On that note, I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
And this has been...
What the Frock?